After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him." Well, we're here to celebrate the risen Lord Jesus, and that gives us joy because our Savior lives. Death is defeated. Our sins have been forgiven. Jesus sits on the throne and reigns forever and ever. What a glorious day today is as we celebrate Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're with us on Good Friday, this light might look familiar. We had seven of these lights. I know you probably can't see it. I'm going to hold it up. All right, seven of these lights hanging on a cross, each one of them representing one of the last words of Jesus as he spoke on the cross. And we turned each of them off, as Katrina told us. And by the end, we were in darkness because Jesus had died. The light of the world had gone out. But as I said on Friday, Good Friday is only half the story because there's no tomb that we can go to see Jesus. There's no bones that we can go look at. As the women in our passage found out, he is risen. He is risen. He is not here. He is alive and well. And so in this moment of incredible darkness and pain and suffering, in this moment of loss, through the power of God, it becomes transformed into the victory of God on that day. And that's what we remember, the victory of God over death, over the evil one. I like Plato. How many of you kids like Plato? Plato's fun. How many of you adults like Plato? All right, I see some adults raising. Right? I mean, let's be real. If you see some Plato, you're going to go play with it, right? Because that's what you do. It's Plato. It's fun. But I've never been good at making anything with Plato, right? That's, you know, those little stencil things they got, those molds, those are for people like me, right? I can't make anything. I can make three things with Plato. So I can take Plato, I can do this, I can make a plate, all right? And then I can take another piece, I can roll it up, I can make spaghetti. That's the second thing I can make. And the third thing I can make is spaghetti on a plate. That's it. That's the extent. Maybe you're better than me. I hope you're better than me at making things. It's pretty amazing. I get blown away by people who can make things with their hands. They can look at something that's nothing, and then they make something good out of it. If you've ever seen, you know, those old sculptures that are chiseled from stone, that's rock-hard stone, and it looks like a flowing robe. It looks like something soft that you could just wrap yourself up in. It's amazing, these people who can take clay and make a bowl, or they can take blank paper and they can turn it into something incredible. You know, we're made to be creators, to take nothing and turn it into something. Because when we do that, we reflect our Father in heaven, who is a creator. He is a creative God. He's in the business of taking nothing and turning it into something. He's actually quite famous for that. In the book of Genesis, at the beginning, God speaks into the nothingness, and he creates something. And he does this over and over again, creating the world that we live in. There's a lot of nothing at the beginning, but after God speaks, it turns into something. That's what I want to focus on this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, that God, by his power, takes nothing and turns it into something. And in our case today, as we've already heard, God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The good news of Resurrection Sunday is that God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. Friday is not the end of the story. Darkness seems like it's won. It's had the final say. Darkness looks like it's undone the work of Genesis. But God can take that darkness and turn it into light. So let's revisit Good Friday with new eyes, seeing what God is doing. On Good Friday, we saw Jesus crucified. We heard his seven last words. The first one was this from Luke 23. He cries out to the Father. He says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus, in his moment of pain, he cries out to the Father, asking for forgiveness for those who were hurting him. They were crucifying him. They were torturing him. Yet they didn't know what they were doing, according to Jesus. They thought they were just putting a man on a cross to die, but really it was the Son of God himself that they put on the cross. So the people didn't know what they were doing, but God knew exactly what was happening. God says, hey, this death, it looks like the end, but really it's not. The death was not the end. There was a resurrection to come, and there is no resurrection without death. Jesus' death is the beginning of forgiveness, so that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and make us clean. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won, but God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The second words we heard were from Luke 23. Jesus is hanging and he's insulted and mocked by those around him. These one criminal next to him insults him, but the other one sees him and believes and knows who he is. So the other criminal asks Jesus to remember him when he goes into his kingdom. And Jesus says, truly, today you'll be with me in paradise. The people there, they were mocking him. But there was one who understood what was happening. And because he understood, as he hung next to Jesus, he turned to Jesus and he believed. When Jesus was teaching, he says that whoever believes in me will not perish, will not die, but will have everlasting life. If a man who was sentenced to death, hanging on a cross, abandoned by the world, can receive the love and forgiveness of God, it is never too late for any of us to receive the love and forgiveness of Jesus. Jesus turns to him and says, you will be with me today in paradise. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won, but God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The third words of Jesus on that day is he's looking at his mother from the cross. He's saying, now this is your mother, and now this is your son, pointing to the disciple that he loved. He creates a new family on that day. Family is no longer just our blood relatives as we all gather together, right, for Easter dinners and meals and celebrations. But now family is anyone who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He creates a new family of brothers and sisters together. Let us be careful not to break apart what Christ himself has brought together on the cross. See, the religious leaders, the people, they thought they were destroying Jesus and his family, but God has another plan in mind on that day. Scripture says that all who believe and receive him will be called children of God, and we are his children, which means we are brothers and sisters together in the Lord. Satan tried to divide the people against themselves at the foot of the cross, but God had another plan. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won. But God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The fourth words we hear is Jesus crying out to his Father, have you forsaken me, God? Have you left me? He feels alone and isolated. He feels like his Father is far away. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel that way as well. Maybe you feel like life is falling apart. Things are not going as you had planned. Friends are leaving you. Maybe you even feel that God has left you. But Scripture tells us that God never leaves us, never forsakes us. Though we feel alone, we are never alone. He is with us in the suffering, in the hurt, in the struggles. The people on that day, they thought they crushed Jesus. They had crushed his spirit. But God, once again, has another plan in mind. That in dying on the cross and descending into death, Jesus was being faithful and doing what needed to be done. Jesus looked defeated in that moment, but in dying, he gained for us a victory that can never be defeated. See, on Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won, but God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The fifth words from John chapter 19, the easiest words, he's hanging up there, he says, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. I'm sure all of us have been thirsty before. When Jesus was walking on the earth, he talks a lot about being thirsty, about a spiritual thirst, that we would thirst for God. Some of you here today, maybe you're thirsting for God. You've come today because there's something in you that's stirring. You're saying, I need something more, something that's not satisfying me. And Jesus says you can come to him to receive a living water that will never run dry, that will satisfy you, that will fulfill you more than you can imagine. Jesus says, all who want God come to him, and he will show the way to the God the Father, because he is God. The people thought they had beaten Jesus, but God had another plan in mind on that day. Our thirst can be fulfilled in coming to Christ, drinking from the living water that never ends. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won, but God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The sixth words that Jesus said that day were, "It is finished. It is finished." He had crossed from life into death, or he was about to, and the work was done. God made a system in the Old Testament of sacrifices so the people could sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of their sins. But even then, God knew that wasn't going to be the final answer. There needed to be a perfect sacrifice, a pure and spotless lamb that was slain, and that is Jesus. And he dies on the cross so that no one and no animal ever has to die again. The work is done. It is finished. Hope is here in Jesus. The people thought they were finishing him off. They were killing his rebellion. They were ending his life once and for all. But God had another plan in mind on that day. By the blood shed on the cross, we are made at peace with God. Our sins are forgiven and the sacrifices are done. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won, but God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. The last words of Jesus, his final words, he commits his spirit to God. He breathes his last. And with that, Good Friday is done. That's where we left on Friday, in a dark room. It seems like death has won, that his enemies have finally gotten to him, that his enemies can finally claim the victory. But God, once again, has another plan in mind. After 3 days dead and buried, God raised Jesus from the dead. Death could not hold him. And in raising Jesus from the dead, that was the first promise made to all who believe, that we will be raised from the dead just as Jesus was. Death and darkness do not have the final say, but God does. On Good Friday, it looked like the darkness had won. But God takes the darkness and he turns it into light. Though everything seems as darkness, this is not so. Because God is able to take that darkness and turn it into a beautiful light. The resurrection account in Matthew 28 begins with these words, at the dawn of the first day of the week. The resurrection is about light. At that dawn of that first day, Mary, they go. And they're looking like it's Friday. They're going in like it's a Friday, like things are dark, that Jesus is dead, the Savior is gone. But they see a new light that shines on that day. He is not here. He is risen. And he is going ahead of you just as the light does. We celebrate today because Jesus is risen. The light of the world is alive again. He has conquered death. He has defeated the evil one. He has overcome the darkness, and he gives us victory through his life, death, and resurrection. Praise God. In the beginning, God created us and put us here to rule and reign on earth, but we were deceived by the evil one, and sin enters into the world. Sin causes the fractures of our lives, the broken relationships, the addictions, the struggles, the isolation, the loneliness. But we remember and celebrate the one who has come to conquer sin, where we could not. Jesus comes to push back the darkness and be the light of the world that we need. Through Jesus, our sin is forgiven, freedom comes, relationships can be restored, and we find a new family under God. And our God is continually creating over and over again. God is able to take the darkness in your life, whatever it might be, and turn it into light for his glory. Scripture tells us if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved and we are welcomed into this family. And that's the call before us today, to confess and believe in what Jesus did on that day, how he raised from the dead. Let's close this morning with the words of 1 John, who reminds us of this, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us all from all unrighteousness. Wherever you go today, whatever you might be doing for the rest of this day or the rest of this weekend, whenever you see the light, the sun, or the light inside, remember the day that the light overcame the darkness. Remember our God who takes the darkness and turns it into light. May we all walk in the light of the resurrection today. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your work, Jesus, on the cross. Father, for raising Jesus from the dead. What a beautiful hope we hold on to today. What a joy it is to celebrate, to sing, and to hear the account of your resurrection. Like the women on that day, they left a little afraid, but full of joy that the Savior lives, and our Savior lives today. Help us, Lord, wherever we go, whatever we do today, we remember, and we give you thanks, and we give you the glory. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.